Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today. When we begin the show by talking with you about giving and giving back and philanthropy, you likely have made some gifts, especially during the holidays, or maybe when your child or grandchild is raising money for school. More often than not, that kind of philanthropy involves maybe a disconnect between the givers and the receivers. And our guest today says you can learn to give in your personal and professional life every day to the people around you. Jennifer Iacovelli is a professional writer, director of development at Tedford Housing, and she is the author of Simple Giving, Easy Ways to Give Every Day, the book from Penguin Random House. And she also blogs on anotherjennifer.com and is the creator of the Simple Giving Lab. And with us today, and you may have questions for her, maybe experiences to share. How do you give? How do you give in your community? Do you have creative ways to give back? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page and our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. And we'd certainly love to hear from you. And Jennifer Iacovelli, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I really enjoyed reading your book, and you have so many great ways to give back. I want to go back to the beginning and how you really got so involved in this whole area.
Yeah, I've been working in development, fundraising, marketing, and stuff for nonprofits for 10 years now, and it came down to I wanted to have a little bit more purpose in my work, and I'm as a writer and have a marketing background and stuff like that. And so I found myself working in development departments where I would get donations and things like that, and sometimes we would get these well-meaning donations that we'd actually have to say no to.
Yeah.
And it was actually my job to say no and sort of redirect people and say, we don't have the storage for that or whatever it was, or, this really could be best used at a different organization or something like that. But I would see different, the disconnect between people who, truly wanted to give and, the nonprofit I always felt like I was asking for stuff, and I was.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw this disconnect, and as a donor too, in my own personal giving, I talk a lot about my own sort of personal journey and giving in the book. I always felt like I wasn't giving enough. So, I was like, how do I put this all together? So I started blogging about it on my website, Another Jennifer, which you mentioned before, and I started this philanthropy series where I started featuring stories of what other people were doing because I was looking for ideas, and just how are these people and businesses incorporating giving into everyday life, into their business model, whatever it was. I realized that, it doesn't even have to even necessarily have to do with money.
Yeah.
Or time. There's so many different ways you can give.
And you give many, many, many great examples. You talk about philanthropy and giving as a kind of as opposed to giving.
I love the term philanthropy. It's just a word that I love. But, and philanthropy, giving, altruism, I mean, there's all these different, sort of buzzwords, I suppose, that you can use. Charity. Charity is another one that I've talked about that sort of almost has a negative connotation.
It does.
But philanthropy, really, and I talk about that as being, it's sort of, philanthropy is doing. It's not just, giving. It's doing and being involved and having the mindset of giving.
And in your book, you give us, half dozen models, I guess, about
yes,
forgiving, which
yeah,
I thought was really pretty cool.
Yeah, and those models, there's six of them, like you said, and those really came from, going back on all the different posts and stuff that I've written for the philanthropy series, and I said, let me start categorizing them. So I came up with six, just to sort of generalize them, and there was You know, a whole chapter on kindness, which I think is the simplest way you can give, just being kind to other people. Mm-hmm. There's a new approach to sort of the traditional philanthropy of, you know, giving money. Giving as a business model, if people own their own businesses or, you know, are involved, obviously, or even at their work. Taking action and on whatever sort of passion that you have in life, and that could, you know, be a number of different ways you could do that. And then there's a whole chapter on just shopping with a conscience. How do you, you know, make decisions when you go out and shop? And then the last one is what I call giving it forward, which is basically sort of, you know, walking the walk and talking the talk, you know, and, you know, trying to incorporate others into your giving and modeling giving so that you can inspire others to do as well.
And I like your approach here. Your chapter, you talk a bit about local, being local, yes, with giving often, and you talk about you feel better about giving, or you're more likely to give if you have some personal relationship or at least some personal meeting with someone connected with the organization that you may be planning to give to.
Exactly. Yeah, there's, you know, and they say it's more meaningful to you, and I talk about meaningful giving too. That's the kind of giving that you can, when it's more meaningful, it's more natural, and it's something that you want to continue, and it's more sustainable. But when you involve, you know, other people that are important to you, or just other people in your giving, but you're also, you know, giving to a cause or whatever it is that really is meaningful to you. That, you know, it's not just, well, I'm going to give here because I feel like I have to. It's because you really want to and you're connected to it somehow. And it could be a personal connection or just, you know somebody who's affected by it. And then there's also the fact that it's really great if you can actually see your impact or know the impact that you're making. So, you know, it's not just, you know, writing a check is great, and sometimes you actually do know, okay, this amount of money will support this. But if you know you're, you know, I'm going to bring in some socks to this homeless shelter because I know right now that there are people who need those warm socks. They put out a, you know, something mm-hmm. on their Facebook page. I do this all the time, actually. This is what we need. You know, but you know it's something really simple, but you know for a fact that you're making an impact with it.
It's interesting. I was thinking back, as I was reading your book, I was thinking back to one instance in my own life. I'm a professor here at the University of Wisconsin, and our college decided, and this is when I was just getting started here, quite a few years back now, had a volunteer day on a Saturday. And so several hundred faculty members and staff picked an organization, and spent the day with that organization. And I picked one, an organization that works, among other things, with single moms and their children.
Right.
So I worked at that. I worked at the place for the day, and you know it's probably 25 years ago, and I still to this day give to that organization.
That's awesome, and that's a great way to get started too. I mean, we have, you know, in my own job, we have college students that come and volunteer and stuff, and I've gone out to volunteer for other organizations and stuff, and that's a really great way to really learn about an organization too. You know, you might, you know, like their mission and believe in it and want to work with, you know, for that cause or whatever it is, but when you actually go in there and you talk to people and, you know, you get more of a feel of what they do and help out, even if it's just, you know, painting or doing yard work or something like that, it's fun. I mean, you get to meet other people and you can, and it's right, you know, you might find that connection where you become a regular donor.
It was, and I really enjoy it. And really, I probably would not have given to that organization if I hadn't had that experience.
Right.
Nancy in Stevens Point has something for us. Nancy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I am disabled, and I live on about $9,600 a year. But even under those tight budgetary restrictions, I feel it is still vital for me to be grateful for what I have and to give to others. I choose to do dishes at a meal site when I'm well enough to do that, and to give Christmas toys and gifts to people who are even more needy, you know, single parents that have, I know a single parent grandmother taking care of a special needs grandson who lives on, who's basically penniless. And so, you know, I'll maybe do a little bit with gifts or something that I can do. And, you know, maybe not all of the gifts are new. Some are, but some aren't. But there's things that are from my heart. And, you know, it helps others a little bit. But it helps me a lot because it keeps me in the mindset of being grateful. And I had to chuckle at the mention of the socks because I currently have a bag of socks hanging on my front doorknob ready to go.
Oh, that's great.
So that's all I have to say. I mean, I just, you know, people can maybe make excuses. Well, I can't give. I'm too poor. Well,
yeah.
Change your mindset. Be grateful for what you have and find a way. You know, even if it's just, you know, when you're well enough, going and doing a few dishes or, you know, something, because it'll change you.
Absolutely.
Nancy, thank you so much. And Jennifer, I'm sure you have a comment.
Yeah, well, and it's funny because, you know, on the cover of the book, it says 40 ideas to make your world a better place. Originally, it said the world a better place. I said, no, we want to change that to say your. And that's, Nancy makes the point. You know, it's giving not only helps others, and, you know, and she sort of made light of some of the stuff that she does to give. I think that's really, she gives a lot, quite a bit.
Yeah.
But like she said, I mean, for her, it's just as beneficial to her as it is to the other people that she's giving to. And, you know, it's great for your mental health and just well-being. And you know, it doesn't just help. And I always say, too, I'm a mom. You know, as a happy mom means happy kids, you know what I mean? You know, makes me a better person, a better mom, and everything else. So, she makes a great point about how, you know, even if you're, you know, you give the way you can, and it does wonders for your health as well.
Thank you again, Nancy, for calling. I really appreciate your call. And we have Beverly and Chris and Kathleen all with input here coming up. But just to remind you, our guest today is Jennifer Iacovelli. Her book is Simple Giving, Easy Ways to Give Every Day. She's got 40 ideas to make your world a better place. I'm Larry Mueller. Brianne Shasaw, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Really enjoying my conversation now with Jennifer Iacovelli, author of Simple Giving, Easy Ways to Give Every Day. You can join in with your own questions or comments or maybe your own experiences to share. We'd love to hear them at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Beverly in Abbotsford, thank you for calling.
Well, good morning. It was very interesting listening to the definition that your guest has of philanthropy. I'm a volunteer puppy raiser for Leader Dogs for the Blind, which is located in Michigan. There are probably about 30 of us throughout the state of Wisconsin. And what we do is we take a puppy at 7 weeks of age. And throughout 1 year, we work with that puppy to develop, to train for house manners, people manners, to train the puppy how to make good decisions in the face of distractions, impulse control we work on, of course, all the basic obedience. And basically what we're doing is we're pulling out the potential or developing the potential for these puppy to be leader dogs. And then at the end of the year, of course, they've all captured our hearts. But at the end of the year, then we say our goodbyes.
Right.
And, you know, I never really thought too much about that being philanthropic, but we certainly do make a difference in people's lives as we move on. And then also as we touch people just as we're out and about socially, you know, doing our own activities, living our own lives, we certainly do touch people through becoming aware of Leader Dogs for the Blind and what their mission is.
Well, Beverly, thank you so much. And I would certainly think that is very philanthropic.
Absolutely. I think that's wonderful. And like she said at the end, too, she's not only helping these dogs and the future owners of these dogs, but she's also, she's giving it forward by you know, actually, I'm sure she shares experiences and, you know, people that she knows she does this and sees the puppies and they learn about the organization. Absolutely. That's a wonderful way to give.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing, Beverly. Appreciate it very much. And Chris in Two Rivers, we turn to you next. Hi, Chris.
Hello. I thought I came across an interesting idea one time. I was starting to retire, and I wanted to give back to the community. I've had a small business for 40 years here, and I've been involved in music a lot, took lessons at the conservatory here for quite a few years, and I thought, well, why not use all these friends I've gathered through the years to help give back to the community? So we put on a variety show each year, and the money that's raised is given to scholarships so kids can go to summer camps for their music.
Oh, that's
awesome.
And that's all, like, fun?
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. It's like, yeah, it's taking something that you love and just, you know, turning it into a giving opportunity. That's awesome.
And plenty of work, too. To be perfectly
honest. Oh, yeah.
To be perfectly
events
honest.
Are always. Absolutely.
I love that. And Chris mentioned with a small business. And you have a nice section, I think, on local businesses and small businesses in your book. And ways that, different ways, from different perspectives. In one perspective, how those businesses can give to the community. And then also from the, say, the purchaser of things from those businesses, how you help your community by purchasing from them.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, shopping local is one of the really easy ways you can shop with a conscience, the way I put it. And, you know, think about where you're buying your products and who makes the products and everything. And so that's part of it is, you know, shopping local is easy because, you know, obviously you're local and you know you're putting money back into your own local economy. And then, like you said, there's a whole chapter on just businesses who incorporate giving into their business model. You know, and that could be just, you know, donating a meal to a food bank every time somebody, you know, buys a meal at their restaurant. And it sounds, you know, if you're a business owner, it sounds, well, that's expensive. It's really not when you break down the numbers. And so there's some different examples in the book about how people do that. And some will, you know, work with fair trade organizations or even, you know, people who will make handmade goods, you know, around the world. And so you're supporting different economies, you know, globally as well. There's all different kinds of ways.
Yeah, and I was thinking of, I was just remembering a pizza company here in town, a business that thought about healthcare for its workers, for all of its workers, even, mm-hmm. and figured it out, and I think it's about 25 cents a pizza.
Oh, wow.
They added 25 cents of the cost of an additional 25 cents, but that provides health care then for all of their 80 employees.
That's amazing. Yeah, and when you break it down that way, I mean, do you mind paying an extra 25 cents for pizza?
No.
Because they're supporting their, you know, probably friends of yours or, you know, people that you know or family members, things like that. That's great.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And thanks again for that call. Kathleen in Portage, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I did most of my Christmas shopping online this year by going to nonprofits or organizations that provide gifts made by people in different parts of the world where the people get the money, like
right.
UNICEF, the Smithsonian,
yep.
which went to benefit them, 10,000 Villages.
Yes, I'm familiar with that one as well, yeah.
Yeah, and they're really nice gifts. They weren't very expensive for the most part. and people were real pleased with them. It was not a nice way to shop.
Yeah, and I know I've done stuff like that as well, and I've found that the recipients, the people who are, get the gifts, are, you know, appreciative that, you know, whatever, you know, it might be a scarf or whatever it is was actually, you know, handmade or actually mm-hmm. helped somebody by with the purchase. It's kind of a neat thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have in your book several sources or places for where people can go to learn more about businesses or other, you know, ways that they can contribute.
Yes, I have. You know, there's some examples in the books and some stories in the book of there's like To the Market is one of them, for example. But then there's I also on my website on Another Jennifer and on Simple Giving Lab, I have it's called Gifts That Give Back. The list that I have that I sort of made it around the holiday season a few years ago, but I continually update it because you can obviously it's not just for the holidays. But anything on that list is something that if you purchase a product or service from it, it's going to give back in some way.
Let's turn to Laura in Superior next. Hi, Laura. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having this program. I think it's wonderful. I had a couple thoughts. I have set up a scholarship in my husband's name at the university here in Superior. And every year I get to meet that student. We either have lunch or we meet at a foundation dinner. And that having that personal connection is really important. My siblings and I also have set up a scholarship in our hometown in my mom and dad's memory. We use the memorial money that came in, and it benefits a high school student that's going to on to school. And, again, one of us tries to be there for the actual presentation, and that's very meaningful. The other thing I wanted to mention is I do mission work in Tanzania, and it's been almost 9 or 10 years since we've been doing it, and the giving that people in our community and at our church have demonstrated and continually coming to fundraising events and just making donations when they know that we have a need in our village. And that's been wonderful to see how our the people in our area have come together, even though it's just a few of us that have the advantage of going there.
That's great.
And it's a way to you're kind of multiplying your impact, Laura, not only on your own, you know, through your own philanthropy, but encouraging others and as an example, maybe through your church and just friends,
right,
to give where they would almost for sure wouldn't have given otherwise.
And I love the personal connection that you have with both ways that you were talking about, giving the mission work and also the scholarships. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very gratifying.
Thank you very much, Laura, for calling. Miles in La Crosse has a comment. Let's go there. Miles, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
I just have a quick question for your guests and you as well, eh?
Mm-hmm.
On philanthropy and altruism. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on if there's a certain level of selfishness within helping others. And I'm just curious what you and your guest had to say about that.
No.
That's an interesting question. I've been asked that before, if there's a certain selfishness and, you know, I'm doing this to make myself feel better. I don't think there is, unless you're only giving to, make yourself look good or put it on a resume or whatever it is. I think if with true meaningful giving, you truly do want to make an impact, you want to, be sustainable and, continue giving over time, and you want to make a difference. And yes, it does. And I think it's a, You know, because it does make you feel better. And I talk about, there's different studies in the book talk about how it actually can be meaningful giving can be tied to better health. I don't think that's selfish because I think that sort of giving is not selfish giving. It's you really, truly are wanting to make an impact. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I would just chime in, too, and just say there is no doubt in my mind that giving makes me feel good.
Right, absolutely.
And so from that perspective, I know when I give money or give my time, I'm going to feel good about it. So I guess, but I think I'm on your wavelength when it comes to my reasons for doing it. I certainly,
right.
I hope that's what.
Right.
Miles, thanks. Interesting. Good question, actually. I liked it. And frankly, they're all good questions. You can join in with yours at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. Heather and Eau Claire up next. Hi, Heather.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on your last caller's statement about a certain selfishness of giving. I think there can be a certain selfishness in giving, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. I myself am a nurse, and I get quite a few comments about how wonderful a profession it is and honorable and, you know, all this other stuff. And frankly, I would do it for free because I get so much more out of taking care of people and helping people than I get in a paycheck for doing a job. And that kind of fills my spirit to be able to provide just a little bit more for somebody that makes the work day of their lives a little better.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Heather, for your comment. I appreciate that. And, you know, hopefully we all get that out of you're working or you're volunteering, that we're all getting that sense of, you know, this is a meaningful thing that I'm doing in giving or in my work. Yeah, absolutely. We have, you can join in, by the way, at 800-642-1234 with your own comments. You have something in your book. There's something you call the smile epidemic, and maybe you could explain that.
Yeah, the smile epidemic was something I did a while back, and I documented it on my blog. And it was, the smile epidemic has had, it was a Tumblr site, and they're kind of updating stuff now. It's a little bit different now, but basically what you did was you took a picture of yourself at the end of the day. Well, I did it at the end of the day for 30 days. It was 30 days of happiness, and had a little sticky note, put a smiley face on it, put it in front of my face, and I wrote on it whatever made me happy that day, one thing that made me smile that day. And it could be, you know, seeing my kids. It could be, you know, something, some accomplishment I made that day, whatever it was, big or small. And what it made me, and so what I had to do is I took a picture. I usually had my son, my oldest son, take the picture, which was kind of fun. And he kept me accountable. He made sure that I did it every day, and he took the picture. And I would post it online on their Tumblr site. And it was a really neat thing. And I wrote about it at the end of the 30 days, like, you know, and they said, you know, guaranteed you'll be happier by the end of these 30 days. And they were right. It was really, and you know, you don't have to do it through the smile epidemic. You could just do it yourself or do it on social media. But it, you know, he basically created it as an online gratitude journal. So, you know, you're doing it publicly and you're just sharing your smiles and it, you know, becomes contagious and, you know, you hopefully make other people smile too. I don't, you know, other people might want to do it as well. But for you, I know for me, I felt, what it made me realize was, no matter, you know, everybody has bad days.
Yeah.
No matter how bad your day is, there's always something to smile about. I realized that, you know, when I was doing it, there was a couple days where I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, I want this day to end. But, you know, my son's like, we got to take the picture. And I could always come up with something.
Yeah, yeah, that's wonderful.
You know, when you think of it that way, and it brought up some nice conversations, too, at the dinner table, we'd say, you know, instead of saying, hey, how was your day, to, you know, my two boys, I'd say, you know, what made you smile today?
You know, I say that every day when I pick my daughter up from school. Seventh grade. I said, well, what made you smile today? And then she'll come back and say, what made you smile today, Daddy?
That's great. I mean, it's better than saying, hey, how was school? You know,
I used to do that, and she'd say, oh, it was okay.
Right, exactly.
Oh, my goodness. So I smiled when I read that about in your book, because that's something I try to do every day myself. And I actually try to smile at everybody I meet on the street. I literally smile.
And that's great.
And I get, most people will smile back. Some people look at me like I'm crazy, but most people.
But I bet you bring some people, you know, their moods up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are people that are kind of lost, you know, or maybe they're not looking like they're not in a very good mood, but they'll always smile, almost always smile right back.
Yeah. I made it a point to do that right before Christmas. I was going to Target.
Uh-huh.
I knew, and I just needed to pick up something, you know, simple. It wasn't even a Christmas present. And I knew it was going to be crazy. And so I had to take my kids with me. And we walked in. I said, we're just going to smile and enjoy the experience. It's not going to be stressful. And that's what we did. We smiled at everybody, and everybody smiled back. And it was a fun trip.
That's the way to do it. Marie in Green Bay. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to share what my husband and I have decided to do. We are both retired teachers and have worked with kids all our lives and wanted to do something. So we went to the very short, I think it was like 6 days of training for the CASA program, which is a court-appointed special advocate. And what we do is we go once a week to an assigned family or child, a situation actually with a child. These children sometimes are in foster homes, sometimes they're with relatives, but they have gone through the court system for some reason, whether it be abuse or abandonment or, you know, numerous reasons. And our purpose really is just to visit with them once a week for an hour. And what we do is we play games and talk, and it provides a friendship for them, and consistency, something they haven't felt is stability and consistency. We become role models, and it's really a small amount of time, but the kids really appreciate it.
Oh, that's
I bet you make a big impact with those kids.
Well, we're just new at it, and we are loving it, and we've heard from other people who've done it, and they said it is. It's just, it's the kids love it. They look forward to your visit every time. We have wonderful trainers here in Brown County. This isn't available in all the counties in Wisconsin, but I believe it's available in about 7 or 8 at least. And I suggest highly for people to do something like this. It's such a small amount of time that you have to actually do. You do have to write a report at the end of a month, which goes to the judge with the case, and just kind of tell him what you see and observe, and it's just wonderful, actually.
And what's it called again, Marie?
It's called the CASA, C-A-S-A, meaning Court-Appointed Special Advocate.
Well, thank you so much for calling in with that experience. And here's another way, Jennifer, to give, and Marie and her husband are using, I'm sure, their teaching experience.
Right.
Was
absolutely
a big help in this whole thing.
Yeah, and some, you know, and it's just from all the examples that we've heard, too, and, you know, talking about Beverly with the puppies and you know, just shopping and scholarships. I mean, it's taking things that are personal to you or things that you just come naturally to you and using those things and the music too, you know, and using them to give back in some way.
Thanks again, Marie, for calling. I appreciate it. Christina in Glenwood City, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi there. Thank you. Well, my brother, whom I absolutely adore, Eddie, lives in Missouri, and his mission throughout the entire year is to locate people who are in need of any kind of item. So he'll contact community social services. Everybody has their radar out. They know that he's on the lookout to help others. He'll purchase whatever the items are, and then he has others give it to him. He does not attach his name to any of these items in any way. He doesn't get a tax write-off, nothing. He does it purely out of the goodness of his heart.
Oh, wow, that's neat. He's like a Santa year-round.
Yes, he is. Yes. Everybody knows he's got his radar out, and he's looking for those who need help, and he's there for them.
Oh.
That's great.
That's an uplifting story. Thank you so much, Christina. I appreciate it very much. I want to give Barb a chance to join in, too, from Menominee. Barb, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I retired a few years ago. I had worked as a disability benefit specialist working with people with adults, and I'm also an avid quilter. So when I retired from my job, I decided to start making quilts, which is something I love doing. I sell the quilts. I created a store on Etsy.com, and I sell the quilts to people who get a beautiful item for their home. And the money that I get from that sale, I donate to the local Aging and Disability Resource Center to meet unexpected needs of people who have disabilities.
Oh.
So that's how I give back. It's a triple win.
That's great.
Yeah. We've heard so many good examples here, and so many of them local, Jennifer.
Yeah. All of these could have been in the book. They're great.
Every one of them. And I know Gretchen had a question, too. How do you make sure that you're giving to a charity that is, you know, really there and doing good work?
That's a good question. And I always encourage people to do their research, too, if you're not familiar with an organization, maybe you've heard of it or you're doing some research online, give them a call. You know, don't be afraid to give them a call. I'm a director of development. People do this to me often. You know, they'll call and ask questions, say, I'm interested, how can I give, or what ways are helpful to you. You can also go on websites like CharityNavigator.com, where you can do some research and you can see their financials and things like that, and who's on their board. And websites are great too. Hopefully, I always say it's important for a nonprofit to have a good website, to have their mission, and be clear about what they do and how people can help out and things like that. Definitely do your research and don't be afraid to call. If they're local, maybe you offer to volunteer so you can kind of help out for a day and see what they're like and see if it's a good fit. But, yeah, definitely do your research.
Well, Jennifer, it's been a real pleasure. I learned a lot, and there's a whole lot more, of course, that we weren't able to go through with your book, Simple Giving. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Hopefully we can do this again.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me. And all the callers were great. I love hearing those stories.
Yeah, me too. Jennifer Iacovelli, her last name is spelled IACOVELLI. Easiest way is probably go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, because we've got a link to her blog, which is anotherjennifer.com. And we also have a link to how you get a copy of the book. It's you can certainly get it from your local bookstore. It's called Simple Giving, Easy Ways to Give Every Day, and it's chock full of information and some great stories about what she and others are doing to give back to their homes and their communities. Great to have her with us. Well, and it's great to have our next guest coming up as well, because Ann Schwartz, it's always fun when she stops by, because she's in the Department of Kinesiology at the UW-Milwaukee. And when she comes by, we talk about fitness goals. Maybe you've made some goals for yourself for the new year. Well, Ann's here to help you out. That's coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.